Just awesome, awesome, really, to see your smiles and hear your kolot, hear your voices just raise us all up. That last song, Salam Shalom, really is a great great segue into the drash for tonight. Those words, we're here to pray for peace, and in every language possible, really. And one of the great champions of that quest is Elie Wiesel. So when I ask you, who's one of your greatest heroes? Who first comes to mind? It's a rhetorical question, but I want to hear. Elie Wiesel. I gave you the punchline. So when I say hero, here's what I mean. Someone who has altered your sense of what is possible. Someone who inspires, perhaps even in spite of your fears or sense of incompetency, pushes you, whose life you hold as an altar towards which you strive and effort to emulate. This week in particular, my mind and my heart has been opened and lit up in thinking about the life and the legacy of Elie Wiesel, Alav HaShalom, peace be upon him, who passed from this world last Shabbat. Most of the world met Elie Wiesel in 1986. He was awarded the Nobel Prize for Peace. A great champion of justice, a lover of Israel. Some even describe him as a modern prophet, a Jewish rock star. I had actually the great honor and privilege of hearing Mr. Wiesel speak when I lived in Boston and New York. And I can still see him on the stage at Boston University, where thousands would come, that we would pack in the room. There was no room to sit, only to stand. And he would sit up on the stage as if he was inviting us all into his living room. And in a simple charcoal suit, hair tousled, always deep in thought. One of his close students, Yossi Abramovitz, commented in a Jerusalem Post article this past week that while Professor Wiesel is known, however, as a survivor of the Nazi horrors, to keep describing him in all the obituaries as a survivor does actually an injustice to the totality of his life and accomplishments. Wiesel not only merely survived, he triumphed. There are three ways in which I wanted to share with you why he is a hero and someone whose life I see as a charge for each of us. First, he saw himself as a yeshiva bocher from Siget. His whole life, when people would say, "Who are you?" he would say, "I'm a yeshiva bocher from Siget." Born in 1928 in Siget, Transylvania, now part of Romania, he studied, he learned a lot of Torah, but he studied the whole canon of our people and he held it close his whole life. So to me, this description of being a yeshiva bocher from Siget, a student of Torah, is dear. It's humble and yet so proud and so clear. And in fact, in his study, he had two pieces of art. It was totally lined with books in Hebrew and French and Yiddish and English, of course. Many on the top shelf, all the books that he had written. And in front of him was a sketch of Yerushalayim, just a simple sketch of Yerushalayim. And in back of him, when he would turn to write, was his a black and white photograph of his home in Siget. So right, that juxtaposition. He knew where he was coming from and he knew where he was going. Siget, you might know as familiar, was the birthplace also of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder and the father, really, of Hasidism. Throughout his life, through all he had been through, Elie Wiesel's faith was strong. And in 2008, there's a remarkable story that was solidified by Wiesel. People had heard that during the Shoah, during the Holocaust, there had been a group of rabbis that had actually put God on trial. And there was a lot of whispers, could this have happened? Did it have happened? And in 2008, when Elie Wiesel was speaking to the Holocaust Educational Trust, he declared, "I was there when God was put on trial." And he described it. There was actually three rabbis who in Auschwitz had put God on trial. And they debated, and Jews debate, they debated. And they ultimately found that God was chayav. God was still responsible. God was still connected to them. Not that God was guilty, but God was chayav. And what did they do right after the trial? They went to daven mincha. They went to pray. And Wiesel, Professor Wiesel, I feel, embodied this. He both questioned and argued and fought, and then he went to daven. He did what we're here doing tonight. He came to pray. And he said very beautifully to what credit he could owe his sanity, right? Imagine living through all of that. And he said, "I read, I listen to music, I speak with friends, my life is full. The main thing is not to waste time." So in terms of time, Professor Wiesel, in 87 years, made time matter. As a witness and an activist, he raised his voice countless times in pursuit of justice and kindness and compassion. I was thinking last night, I wish Wiesel was here to respond to Dallas. The second way in which I think Wiesel is a hero to emulate is as an aide, as a witness. That's the word in Hebrew for witness, aide. He took it upon him, and he said, "There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest." In 2006, I was really blessed to be with 15,000 people in DC, marching to awaken the Bush administration to act in Darfur, and Wiesel was there. He showed up everywhere around the world. And he was there, and he said, "A Jew must be sensitive to the pain of all human beings. A Jew cannot remain indifferent to human suffering, whether in other countries or in our own cities and towns. The mission of the Jewish people has never been to make the world more Jewish, but to make it more human." And lastly, the third way in which Nobel laureate Wiesel is a bold hero, in my mind, is as an Abba, as a father. Wiesel remembers that while his father was a grocery store owner, he said my Abba had no official position in the community, and yet it was he who the officials would come to when there was trouble. Somehow, Wiesel says, I don't know how, but he always defended the Jews to the authorities. Therefore, when something would happen, they would come to my father. And at times, his father was so busy with communal business that young Wiesel would only see him at home for Shabbat. Wiesel said, because of kibud av, because of respect for his father, I didn't dare compare myself with him. He saved lives. I didn't. I tried to teach. He saved lives. I was arrested. He was tortured. So how can I compare myself to him? And similarly, Wiesel struggled with being a son, and he also wrestled when he became a father. He has one sole child, Shlomo Elisha, named for his Abba. And Shlomo Elisha is a Yale graduate. He's now in finance, and he's been heard joking, "It's hard growing up in a house where your dad is the arbiter of morality in the 20th century." Right? Can you imagine? As my senior rabbi from my synagogue in Santa Barbara wrote this week so beautifully, Rabbi Steve Cohen, he says, out of his own struggle with silence, right? Because Wiesel, he wrote Night when no one else was writing, yet alone speaking about the Shoah. So he writes, out of his own struggle with silence, Wiesel taught us that it is possible and necessary to speak about the unspeakable. So my tefillah, my hope, and my prayer for each of us is that we find words in our own way to be yeshiva buchers. whatever that looks like. You know, rent a Jewish movie, listen to Fiddler on the Roof again, whatever it is. But that we, in some way, in our own way, claim a connection, to be a bucher, to be a person of the book. And secondly, that we stand as edim, that we stand as witnesses to the injustice in our world. And third, that we find ways as parents and children, abbas and imas, to support the people we love closest to us. Our world really needs us, really, really needs us to be such heroes. Shabbat shalom.